as much as we saw the that coil. So Mitzrayim and Canaan was a kulkul kolobu mois. And the question is really, what does it add to the parsha? The Torah gives a lot of isurim. The Torah gives everything goes into detail. All the rais, they have the dinim, the isurim, very very chomer. I mean, you could have had this by the Velas and Trefas also. You could have had this in Shmini. They were all indulgent in it. The people ask, what about? I mean, Manushav was Mitzrayim worse, Knainim worse. Mitzrayim says Shtufim Barayis, Knainim, not so. I mean, obviously, but it doesn't say it so much for us. What's the why the two must pick an Umar that's worse? Whichever one is the worst one, and the pasuk seems to be saying the two nekudas are from where you're coming and where you're going to. In other words, there's a yichud in the problem of Mitzrayim because that's where you're coming from, and it's Canaan is where you're going to. The Zohar Kodesh says as following over here, just to say the tzustel that he makes, and we'll try to understand it physically later. He says the tumah, the klipa, the tumah of Mitzrayim, asher yishavtem bo, and eretz Canaan she'hevi eschem, is one is the b'chinas eved, shivcha, and one is Shevi. It says by Paroi, it says by Makas Bechiris, that from the Shivcha to the Shevi, those are the two Tumas. One is Pchina of Avdus Shivcha, one is a Pchina Shvuya. I mean, both of them don't seem to be terribly big. I mean, what's the difference? What is the difference between the two? You know, Avodim or low life, Shvuyaza is whatever it is. What are these two things? So, I'd like to understand a little bit about what is it in Arayis that for a person to be Nichshol in Arayis. So yes, there's a very, very strong Yitzhar, obviously. But what are two reasons why a person might not at all be Nizah Narayis? Why a person might give up on Narayis, let's put it that way. So, the first Nekuda is, there's nothing unnatural about Narayis. It's like Achila Shtia for Malchai. It's a drive, a physical drive, and people satisfy the physical drives. It's hard to call satisfying a physical drive. It's unnatural. The teretz is, we have a tzuras adam, a tzelem olakim, that is unnatural. Let's give a simple muscle for it. If somebody observes a baby, babies do a lot of things that are very natural. They crawl, they get dirty, they whatever a baby does, it's nothing's unnatural. You crawl wherever you can, you put your hands to whatever you can, and so on. The only reason why it's unnatural for an older child to do it, and certainly an adult, is because the sense of self becomes very different. The person becomes a tzelem olakim, the person gets a sense of being more than a bal chai, and so on. And that was Slabatka, that was Kedua, that was what Slabatka taught, that if you teach a person that he's big, just like a kid, you know, I'm always amazed at a transition that happens to a kid when you do a halakha. I mean, he's 3 years old, so it's a day this way, that way. What changed? I mean, there's no physical change associated with halakha. And the answer is because once he looks like an older kid, you look at him as an older kid, he senses himself as an older kid, and he behaves like an older kid. It goes together. The way you look at him, all of a sudden he's gone in your mind from a toddler to a little boy, so in his mind it's also like that. Same thing is true about mitzvah boy. You put him on a hat and jacket. We all know there's a lot of kedusha in a hat and a jacket. But besides that, what affects the kid is he's an adult. He's a little adult. He's looked upon as a little adult. He presents as an adult, and that's what he is. So the first part is the tzelem olakim, that he has the chashivas and so on. The other side is, if a person becomes very full of himself, so the person knows no gvulis, and Arayis becomes part of not having any odin on yourself. the Chazal say that somebody was misgoyes nechreishis ish. I know an incredible story. I heard this recently firsthand from somebody. There was somebody who was a man of great power. You know, this is going back a long time ago in Israel. It's probably 30, 40 years ago. But the person was a very influential person, person who dictated, directed, that type of personality. And at some point, you know, the thing blew up with Arias and so on. And this person who told me the story said he went to ask Rav Shlomo Zalman about it. Rav Shlomo Zalman said, it's a Gemara, that if a person is Misgoya, he is Nechshei Shishish. And the logic behind it, on first glance, it seems that, and what's one after the other, they're very different types of Yetzirahs. The answer is, what makes a person refrain from pushing his realization of his taivus is a sense of there's something above me. There's a sort of there's gevulas. As a person becomes arrogant, and the sense of being mugbal. So, if you take a look at the process that happens, usually that's how it happens. The normal red lines, normal people wouldn't hesitate to do X, Y, and Z. And this person sort of, the guy that feeds into it, that he's not incumbent and he can break things. So the Shemira on Arias takes place in two eifanim. One is a sense that I am somebody without a modicum of self-worth, that you have respect for yourself, and there's somebody there that needs to be respected. Person doesn't have any reason to want to be different. He's like Bal Chaim. That's it. With Satsheni, as a person begins to get a sense of self and self-value and worth, if he doesn't have the sense of restraint, then it's he's going to break it mitzvah that. Avdus, an eved, is halachically has a very low status. It's in terms of Bal Chai, the mitzrim are compared to zirmas susim zirmasam, they're Bal Chaim. And being an eved in that matziv, an eved is something that's bought. A ben chayrin doesn't have domim. You can't buy a ben chayrin, and because he's not a chayfetz. A person that you can buy becomes a chayfetz. Mikrayach that. And b'meila in Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael was olul more than any other place to be nichshol, because there was a sense of worthlessness. I'm garbage. So, what are you telling me? How can you do it? The flip side is there's also a musik of after befker nichalei. A shvuya is somebody when somebody lives together with his own people. So there's a sense of norms, societal norms, my societal norms. So we live amongst from a Yidden. So there's a sense of restraint. It's, you know, this is binding on me. If a person wouldn't, I knew somebody who was nifted a few years ago. We actually lived in Azabir near your parents, Butler Binowitz. He was during the war years. He was in the Philippines. All the years, nobody else. And it was admired. I'm trying to think how much would be left of our Yiddishkeit if we lived in a world where there was no... I mean, if I walk with a yarmulke, without a yarmulke, work on Shabbos, don't work on Shabbos, eat this, eat that, the other thing, there's no gevul imposed on me. Yes, my hakara and the Rebbeinu Shalom. But other than that, right now, we do have some hakara. It's how people look at us. If an eved doesn't have that, a shvuya is somebody who's missing the chelik of, if somebody's a Chevy in a society that's not his, he doesn't have the gvulas and the binding that the society imposes on him. So the pasuk is telling you there are two ktsavis, there are two extremes that are going to be traps for ice. One is you come from Eretz Mitzrayim, so that means you are a avodim, you're garbage. You don't see yourself as being worth anything, and the mela, that's a definite trap for ice. Mitzad sheni, you come into Eretz Kanaan where you're free and doing what you want to do. It's like the pasuk says, you know, pen esba v'kichashti, kanivoresh v'ganafti. If a person becomes too wealthy, he feels nobody has, you know, nobody can tell him what to do. If a person is too poor, he steals. The two ktsavos, both of them don't allow for a person to grapple with them. I think it's certainly true by Raias. It's certainly true in everything. What makes chinuch so difficult, I'm probably preaching to the choir and just raising it up, is chinuch needs to inculcate people two things. A, how much they're worth and what they are. And it's actually what is acceptable, what's not acceptable. It's easy. One of the two ktsavos is usually much easier than balancing, because doing something with a ktsava doesn't require much seichel. You just, you know, if you slam your foot, if the foot is totally on the gears or totally on the brake, it doesn't require much thinking. You may not have a chance to think very long time, but like upon him, it doesn't require any thinking. To keep going back and forth requires a lot of thinking. If you impose a lot, and b'meila a child feels worthless, so then there is absolutely no motivation to do anything. If you sort of stroke his ego in a way where it doesn't understand where the gvulas are going towards, then you also, you know, it's not just that particular thing, he's not going to do this, he's not going to do that. He lives in a world where there's no sense of gvul. And if there's no sense of gvul, there's no awareness off limits. Because the aside of all off limits is that there are limits, that there's something there. So the Torah tells us, so the Torah is makdim, the hardest parasha, the parasha with the strongest awareness with these two things, with Ma'aseh Mitzrayim and Ma'aseh Kanaan. And I think that those are the two, the balance between a person having those two extremes, having both of them, both are true, and the person needs to constantly live with both of them for it to work. I'm a shaya that I'm not being mechadish much, but it's good a lot of times to keep refreshing that the Yisrael said is a person, a child, needs to have what to live for. And, you know, that's why the kids that are matzliach and klias are matzliach. Once a kid is matzliach, he has what to live for. A kid who's decided there's no way in the world he's going to be matzliach, there's nothing he's going to live for. On the other hand, a strong sense of right and wrong is also, without that, there's not going to be an incentive. A person will, if he feels good about himself in a way where he feels there's no mechayev, and there's nothing that's being mechayev, he just keeps breaking things because there's nothing mechayev him. The Torah says, keep away from Mitzrayim and Canaan. Keep away from those two in Yanim. It's very interesting. Canaan was made an Eved because he had no gvulas. Canaan wanted all the land, had the musig of a parent was no gvul, Arias, however Chazal tells us in the Pasuk, but the common denominator is he had no self-control. And that's why you have to impose avdus. That's Canaan's avdus. So, Be'ez Hashem, we should be zocha to be mechanech our children and ourselves with both of those in Yanim.
Why is the
pashas
that it's a
stira? Why is it a stira? Because we tend to think of ourself. In other words, unless we have a picture of a Ribbono Shel Olam, which is difficult, having a picture of others. If I'm top guy, so who are you to tell me what to do? If you're top guy, I'm nothing. Let's go back to that scenario in a classroom. So the kid who is weak perpetually, someone says, what am I learning for? I'm not getting anywhere. Yes, we all, you know, it takes a lot of chinuch to understand that learning means something, even if you're not in the class, you're not going to give something. On the other hand, once you're matzliach, you tend to, a kid who is arrogant, the nekuda that expresses itself at is, I don't need to listen to anybody. No one's going to tell me what to do. The arrogance pushes the sense of self out of proportion and less than a stein. Now, the answer to both of them are very strong awareness and rational. That takes a lot of maturity and a long time. A person who's mature understands that Ribbono Shel Olam wants me and holds of me and desires me, even if I'm the weakest in the class, but my Torah is chaviv to him, and what I do is chaviv. And he also understands that, you know, every step is like says in Ramah, you know, when you stand in front of a melech, it's very different. There are no, but that's the, hopefully, the end result of a chinuch, you know. But if not, the emotional tendency of somebody who feels too good about himself is haughty, disregard for the other, disregard for society, and sometimes even revel in the contempt. The fact that people kind of think that you're out of bounds, it sort of feeds that ego of yours. So artificially, you knock it, you know, you put him in his place, quote unquote. But at the end of it, the real end of it is when you understand the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, understand both of them. I spoke in the yeshiva when Rav Shlomo was nifta. I said a hesped. So I said Rav Shlomo, you know, his anivus of not being chashev and all of that. Did he really think that he deserved less of matzeva than all of the Beis HaKvaris in Bnei Brak? Did he really think so? What's the pshat in that? What's the pshat in that? So my description was as follows. Imagine a person tries to evaluate how well he runs. What's you know, how good of a walker, runner is he? So a normal person can walk a mile in 10 minutes, let's say. An athlete can do it in 4 minutes, 3 minutes. He can do it in 8, 9 minutes, or he can do it in 12 minutes. So that's how he evaluates himself, and that's about how he reaches his understanding of who he is. Imagine somebody works all day in a rehab center for people, stroke victims, and he helps people take their first steps, and they walk down the hallway in a half hour, and when the guy gets to the end of the hallway, everybody claps and says, that's amazing, this is Olympic material, and v'chula, 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 day in, day out. So one day he walks home, and it takes him 25 minutes to walk the mile, but he says, I'm Olympic Shev Olympic, because my musik of what it is. I said, you know, we've gotten so used to katnus that, Rav Shlomo was living with different musagim. He understood what goes on in the world, understood what average person knows, what he knows, but he wasn't measuring himself by that. He's measuring himself by different standards. And the real standards, that we have a distortion of standards, and that's why we think so much of ourselves. When a person comes into you have a kid who goes from a very, very strong environment, a lot of times there's like a mashber, because he didn't begin to realize what it's like in a very strong environment. You get so used to a weaker environment. So the real emes of a person is being masig. What's right? What's emes? What is a person? But let me try just the story side. I remind myself of something. It's a bit late, but I just want to share a story. I just remind myself about people's self-worth and value that I heard from the person himself. This person was a Chassidish person who grew up in Nashdod. He was one of the students lived there, and he was on drugs, lo aleinu, and went to rehab. And Baruch Hashem, today he lives in America, and he does well business wise, family wise, everything. I'll tell you, it's been many years since then. I had a reason to be by him, and he told me a little bit, very warm, open person. He told me that, you know, as he was rehabilitating from drugs, somebody, so you have a part, you have a mentor. Like, you go to these meetings, and they have a mentor, that in case you have a moment of weakness, you reach out to the mentor, and they're mechazek you. So he was walking in Manhattan, and he really felt down on himself, and he really wanted to reach out and take drugs or kill himself. I don't remember that part, I don't remember, but one of the two. And he called up his mentor, and the mentor couldn't make it. So the mentor said, I'll set you up with a chaver chavruch in Manhattan. So the chaver chavruch was a black fellow in Harlem. And he said, I don't remember if he met him on the street or in a church basement. I don't remember which one. But he said, he went there, and a big black fellow comes. He gives him a big hug, and he says, Pini, I love you. God love you. Don't do anything to yourself. And he told me, I grew up in a cheder, and the first time someone told me that God loves me was a black man in Holland. I'm serious. I'm telling the person on his story. He said, all I heard in cheder was, if you eat Rabach in Isa Verusha did this, Isa Verusha did this, and Gehenim, and this, and that. And the first person who told me that God loves me and he loves me was a bleak black fellow in Harlem. Incredible. And so what does that do? When a big black fellow says, why does that stop you thinking? The Terence is, you're worth something to somebody. Your mitzias is worth somebody. Why I shouldn't be taking drugs. My life is worth something to somebody, and to myself, and I'm somebody. If not, it's sort of, if I'm worthless, then what's the point of it? The story shook me. It was a very open, candid person. He wasn't speaking at a meeting. He was speaking when a kid feels that he has value, it's worth something. So, and the problem is, it has to be genuine. You have to notice it, and you have to take note of it. That's the challenge of chinuch. You know, the Alter Slabot was able to give each. It's Mama's grandfather, great grandfather, was able to give each person a sense of his worth, but he was extremely demanding. Rabbi Shapiro told me. His father was Telza, who went to Slabatka and went by the Alter in Chevron. And Rabbi Shapiro would sometimes tell me these stories, and he told me there was a Yid of Alta Agola, who was from the last leftover Talmidim of that Kufa. His father, there was a Yid of Alta Agola, I don't know who it was. Rabbi Shapiro told me that the day after Yom Kippur, the Alter Slabatka sat down with his four biggest Talmidim in Chevron, and they reviewed how the davening went of Yom, how the Avodah went of Yom Neroi. And he told, he heard each Talmud, and he told this person, Alta Agola, I think Agola is the town, and Alta Agola, he says, I'll tell it in Yiddish, because that's the way he said, no. Irotachayach pesel, micha duch gefir, de alle musafim for Yom Neroi. You took your pesel, micha, through all the musafim of Yom Neroi. That was his musaf. And he said, the Rishon told me, I can't tell you how much ava this person had for the altar. He said his eyes would tear at her. So I guess you needed to be able to have that type of. I guess the person felt that if the altar speaks like that to him, he holds of him. You know, it's a somebody. They put out in English now. Rav Meir Chodesh, his biography was written by his daughter. If you read it, sorry about it. It's really amazing, especially since it was written by a woman. There's less censorship in heaven, so much less censorship than would be in. There was somebody there who Rav Meir Chodesh called him in, and he said he's not happy with his learning. It's not what it should be. So then a week later, Rav Meir said, "I don't see where you've improved. Not much." The third week, Rav Meir Chodesh called him and said, "Listen, you improve. But it's nowhere near what I was thinking, what I was talking about. If one more time I don't see any change, I am maftich you, I will never ever give you to chach again. I'm warning you." and that did the trick. So, but you know what? It had to be said. It had to be when I expect somebody to be a star. You know, the person in the basketball game that I keep hacking to do better is because I think he can do something. The other person's low lane with a wheelchair. Everything he does is wonderful. You know, it's a tricky balance. You know, whatever you do, we had a retreat with the Bachmanar Yeshiva. We usually do it at the end of the summer. This year we just couldn't do it because of placement. So we didn't begin as man. And I asked the Bachram if they were giving advice, other Bachram, or what would they, if their son were going to give, what advice would be. So one person said, you know, everybody's different and they shouldn't, you know, not what everybody else does, all that type of stuff. So I said to him, well, let me turn it around. Imagine you had a son to send off to yeshiva and you came and asked me, well, what's the yeshiva about? And I say, whatever your son does is okay. Said, would you fork over $20,000 for that? So he said, no, but you know, I try to get them to understand the musig of gvulis kafi the person. In other words, the erech of the person means chatzing up correctly who the person is and what he can do, and the gvulis is we want you to reach it. This is where you have to get to. And like always, it's the hardest balance. It's easy to just slam down and in this sense, and it's relatively easy to just say, okay, everything's fine, just pat on the back, but to be able to do the two is a very cautious of a mikdash. That's why it's such a well-paying profession. You know. Okay, I'm going to take a nice time. It's wonderful to be here. Baruch Hashem.